and do our Bible reading today from 1 Thessalonians 5. Thanks, Graham.
So the reading this morning is from Paul's first letter to the church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, reading from verse 12 to the end. Now, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful. And he will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Good words to the church today. I particularly want to focus. Again, it's one of these passages, there's so many places you could share some. But particularly verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Last week, for those that were here, will know that it was our testimony service. And I have to admit, when I approach a testimony service, I have a little bit of a lack of faith. Because I always say, oh, tell me if you're going to give my testimonies, and I end up with two or three names, and I think, oh, that's a short service, maybe that's what they want, but I think there's not many people down to give testimony, and I think, what happens if it's only 5 minutes, and then what happens, I'm just letting into the world of my mind, and Wednesday before the testimony service, which on Wednesday morning, which is normally my sermon kind of preparation time, I thought, well, I better get something down. I'll get a thought, something at least. So if it's really short and nobody gives testimony, I'll have something. I feel a little bit more confident going into the service. Obviously, be like lack of faith, lots of people stood up. Lots of people gave testimony. And it was full of testimonies, which was great to hear God working in people's lives in different ways. But then I didn't need what I had wrote, my thought for that week. So it's sort of, and my thought for that week, last week, was going to be on gratitude, the word gratitude. So I thought, well, it makes sense for me to use it as a bit of a base for my message this week. So I want to talk to you today about gratitude. Part of my message today, I think, comes from watching the news, some of the events around the world. But also the situations, especially about migrant people coming to our own country, and some of the reactions around that particular issue. Being grateful. You know what? I have so much, a lot to be grateful for. I can speak personally. I have a family. I have a home, a roof over my head. I have a job at the moment. I have a car. I have some money to buy things. Even a few treats. You know, the other Saturday, me and Alison and Emma, it was a lovely Saturday morning. We went for a walk around Marsden, up a little bit on the hills of Marsden. And the sun was shining. We were walking in some lovely countryside. And then we dropped down and we went into this little place that we've now discovered by the canal. And we had a spot of lunch overlooking the canal. And as I sat there, I thought, what a gift. What a gift to be able to do this, to enjoy that walk and then just have this nice little bit of food sat with by the canal. But here's the big thing, really. I realise that so much of what I have to be grateful for has absolutely nothing to do with me. The first reason I say that is it's just because of where I was born. I was born in Harrogate on the 15th of June, 1969. I know, you think, gosh, he's wearing well. I was born in Yorkshire, God's own country, in England, in the United Kingdom. And obviously, this is firstly thanks to my mum and dad. But because of where I was born, because I was born here, there are so many benefits and so many provisions that I receive. I am far away from many devastating natural disasters that can impact our world. I've never experienced a hurricane or a tsunami. There was a tiny little earthquake once in Shaw. But I don't really face those big natural disasters. I don't have to experience the consequences firsthand of war. I don't face any serious persecution. I don't live in a regime that is oppressive. I'm not displaced. I can turn a tap on and get clean water. I have easy access to food. I've had the opportunity of an education. I have entertainment at my fingertips with countless TV channels. When I'm ill, there's an amazing healthcare provision that I can freely go to. And I think the biggest thing out of everything is I have freedom. I have freedom to walk around. I have freedom to choose. I have freedom even to come to church. Well, within a reason, because I get paid to do it. So. But all this is available to me, not because of anything that I have done, but really just because of where I was born. And I think I and many others often take this for granted. And I think it's as if for some reason we feel that we are entitled. But why really? It has nothing to do with what I have done. Now, of course, I still moan, I still grumble, I still complain, whether it's at the weather or this week about the number of roadworks slowing me down as I travel from A to B. I still occasionally will have a bit of a grumble. Alison will back that up. But don't we have so much to be grateful for? Now, I have to say this, and I think this is really important as well. I have to say that being grateful does not bury, does not mask, does not take away what is difficult. Life is not perfect. It still can be very hard at times. We can face what we call storms in life, can't we? And I'm not just talking about the heavy rain that was happening yesterday. But we can have bad news to deal with. We have to fight our battles sometimes. And whatever this looks like, whatever size they are, they're still very important in our lives. And we can't pretend they're not. And we have to work through those things, don't we, as well. But I think recognizing what we have to be grateful for me, helps to produce a different, a better balance. See, I have this picture that if our lives are a bit like scales, as in not like fish things, but weight things, and we're just piling on the news and the worry and the thought of concern, then if I, we're just like, whoa, it's just. And what I'm thinking about today is trying to also think about gratefulness, which I think puts things on the other side that just helps us to have a better balance in our lives. We still have all the heavy stuff, the hard stuff and the battles and the storms and everything like that. Let's not pretend that they're not there, because we know they are and they're real and they're difficult. But just having a sense of gratefulness alongside that, I think just helps the balance. I have so much to be grateful for that has nothing to do with me. And I think if I get a better balance in my life and I realize this, then I think it's really important to my well-being and to your well-being. And I believe it's really important to our well-being, both mentally and spiritually. But there's another area where I really need to be grateful for that has absolutely nothing to do with me. And that's because of God's love. You know, Casting Crowns is a band called Casting Crowns. They're a Christian band. Some of you will know them well. They sing a song called Who Am I? And the lyrics of the song say this: not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. And this is the second reason that I have so much to be grateful for that has nothing to do with me. I think we all know, I hope we all know, that we all sin. We've all messed up in thought, in word, and deed at times. The Bible tells us in Romans 5 that we all fall short of the glory of God, which also means that we should all face punishment and we should all face eternal death. That's what the Bible tells us. Yet, because of God's love, because of Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, taking the punishment once and for us all, and because of God's grace, and because of God's mercy. I love those words, grace and mercy. When you start to understand what those words mean. You know, a definition of the word grace is this: God's unmerited favor and loving kindness freely given to humanity through Jesus Christ. God's unmerited favor and loving kindness freely given to humanity through Jesus Christ. And then the word mercy, compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish them instead or harm them instead. Because of all this, I get to receive through acceptance and repentance, and that's important. There is a part I've got to play there. But because of God's grace, because of God's mercy, because of what Jesus has done, I get to receive forgiveness. I get to have a relationship with my Heavenly Father. I get strength and power and peace and purpose through the Holy Spirit. I've got a new identity in Christ, and I have an eternal hope and so much more. Not because of who I am. Who am I really? You know, I'm a grain of sand, I'm, you know, on a big beach, really. In the big scale of things, I'm just me. I'm one little person. It's not because of who I am, but it's because of what you've done. Jesus dying for me, dying for you on the cross. His sacrificial death. Not because of what I've done. In fact, if you think about it, I've contributed to the mess. Really, it's worse. But as the song says, because of who you are. Because he's our Heavenly Father, full of grace and full of mercy. I find it pretty cool, amazing. And when I thought about it, I don't know why, I just thought I wanted to read the words of a hymn. And the hymn is, some of you know it really well, "To God be the glory, great things he has done." Let's read the words. "To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. who yielded his life in redemption to win and opened the life gate that all may go in. O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, great thing and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our rapture, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. O come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he has done. Isn't it amazing? Just because of where I was born, I get so much to be grateful for, really. And I need to recognize it. I need to see it. I don't want to just take it for granted. I think it's important that we see it. It's good to see it. But also because of what God has done for me. A sinner, messed up. But yeah, he died for me. And freely, if I respond to him, he offers me freely and abundantly so, so much. His grace and his mercy, his forgiveness and his love and his friendship and his purpose and an identity and freedom. Not because of what I've done. Not because of who I am. But because of who he is and because of what he's done. But the third point really is this. How do I respond to that? What should that end doing me? How do I act upon it? See, I have so much to be grateful for, and I've considered how much I'd be grateful for that it's nothing to do with me. So I thought to myself, well, how do I respond? Because I do believe I have a responsibility to respond, to express my gratitude. And I was drawn to the parable of the Good Samaritan. And this is just one way of looking at it, I suppose. Many of you know the story of the Good Samaritan really well. Jesus told it as somebody asked him a question about loving his neighbour. And there was a whole question about who's my neighbour. So Jesus told this very familiar story. And in Luke's gospel. Jesus said it's the story of a guy. It would have been a Jewish guy coming down a mountainside from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he's attacked and robbed and beaten up and left to die. The crowd would have been shocked. But then Jesus said, along comes a priest. The crowd would have had hope in their hearts. The priest comes and he sees the man. Surely the priest would help him, but the priest walked on by. What? But then Jesus said, a Levi come, a friend basically comes by. Sees the man, surely he's going to help him, but he walks on by. But then Jesus says, and he twists it, so if an Agatha Christie thriller, a Samaritan comes along the road. What? The enemy? Well, this is far beyond Liverpool and Manchester United. This is serious stuff. The enemy comes. What's he going to do? If the man's not dead, he'll finish him off, surely. Jesus said, the Samaritan sees the man, gets down upon him, helps him with his wounds, looks after him, puts him on his horse, takes him, or donkey, and takes him to an inn where he can get help. And he pays for the help. What a story. It's a radical, controversial story about two groups of people who were extreme enemies. Jesus telling this story must have known that he will upset a lot of people. Jesus definitely was not going for likes. In fact, I think he was going for truth and love and compassion. What does this story tell me? I think it tells me not to judge. Who am I? Who are we really to judge others? And I wonder if we often do without really knowing the other person's story. And yet we judge. We watch the news. We look at society. And we add our judgment into the position. I think the story that the Good Samaritan tells me to show kindness to people. And there does seem to be an increase for me of anger and hostility and even hatred towards one another in this world, especially those who we perceive are on a different side to us. They're on a different side. They believe something different. They have a different opinion. So I'm really going to not like them. I'm going to hate them. I'm going to be aggressive towards them. We see it all the time. Yet the story tells me to show kindness to people. The story tells me to show kindness to people in need. I can't ignore, if I'm a follower of Jesus, people in need. I can't just walk on by. I have to see, I have to stop, and where I can, I have to act. Surely that's what the Bible tells us. The story tells us. I think it tells us to show kindness even to those who are different to me. These two people in this story were completely different. You know, I might not agree with everything other people stand for, but I do believe I'm meant to stand against prejudice, and I do believe I'm meant to show compassion even to those who are different to me. And this story also tells us to show kindness even to my enemies. What? This is tough. This is the upside kingdom as a Christian that I and many of you belong to. To show kindness even to my enemies. You know, I believe I have a responsibility to express and to overflow my gratitude. I believe I have a responsibility to do that outwardly into the world in which I live in. I believe I'm called as a Christian to be salt and to be light in the world. And sometimes that's hard, and sometimes that's a challenge in a world which seems to be more divisive and sort of aggressive towards different places and parts. And it's as if we take along that. We have to be so careful. I have so much to be grateful for. Surely I have to express that in this world. And I have to express it not just outwardly, but upwardly. Because in the end, my gratitude is to God, to whom I worship. It's to offer thanks and praise and to show that I mean business about what he's done for me. Said that word, didn't I, earlier on? James 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from God. It's from God, yeah, from above. Coming down from the Father of our heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, as I finish, if I was to give my talk a title today, and I often do, I would simply call it Getting a Better Balance. Because like I said, I feel I'm just concerned at the world today is that we're just getting overbalanced by all the negative, bad, hurtful stuff. And I'm not ignoring that. That is absolutely real, and we have to face it and work through it and put it before our God, and not just in prayer, but as a community and all the different things. But I think having a sense of gratitude, understanding what we have to be grateful for, whether it's in the world in which we live in today or whether it's because of the God who gave everything for us, it just helps us to be a little bit more steady, a little bit more balanced, a little less worried that we're just going to topple over with all the other stuff. And that's what I want to try and practice, I suppose. That's what I want to think about in my own life. Just being more balanced through gratitude. And that's why I want us to think about that today. So we're going to sing the song Gratitude, and then we're going to just think about it through response, but I want us to just sing this song first, the song Gratitude, which many of you will know. Please be seated. So my question today, as we just move into a little bit of response, is are you balanced, really? Or are you tipping? And tipping with all the heavy stuff, all the negative that's around, all the battles and the storms. And I'd say again, it is not about pretending they are not there. They are there. And we want to work with you, and we want to pray with you, and we want to encourage you and support you as a church, and God is on your side for all that stuff. That stuff is there. You might be facing stuff, there'll be a lot of you facing stuff that many of us haven't got a clue about, because on the outside we go, yeah, I'm all right. It's tough, this world. And I'm not trying to say is, can we just be a little bit more balanced? Is there a way? I'm asking myself this. Can I just be a bit more balanced? And I think one of the way of being a bit more balanced is just trying to move into this place of gratitude. Recognizing what we do have. Much of it has nothing to do with us ourselves. Partly because of where we were born, maybe. But more than anything else, because of our God's love and grace and mercy. What have we to be thankful for today? You know, someone sent me a Facebook quote thing, and it said, gratefulness is the vitamin for the soul. What have we to be grateful for today? Yeah, I understand there's whatever's going on, and for some of you, but can you find something? Can you find a few things to say, yeah, this is tough, but I'm grateful for this? And would it just help us to have just that slightly better balance as we go through? Let me pray for us today. Lord, I just want to pray again for this church community. Lord, we're all individuals before you today, as well as a community of congregation. Lord God, I pray that you would meet with us all again in this place. You know what we're all going through. Some of us are partying at the moment. Life is so good. We've just, you know, better than ever. And we just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for the good things. For others, there's a struggle and there's a heaviness and they feel like they're going to tip over the burden of some of the things around them. I just pray today that you'll help us to have that sense of gratitude, to see the good things even alongside everything else. That we might be better balanced, that we might walk and not feel like we're going to fall over every 5 minutes. What have we to be grateful for? Let's say thank you to God in your own hearts. What have you to be grateful for today? For our Heavenly Father. Is it just the fact that you had breath in your lungs when you woke up this morning? Another day God has given us. Lord, I believe your church, you want your people to be, not carry heavy burdens. You come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, I will give you rest. Lord, that doesn't mean the burdens aren't there. It's just we don't want to carry them heavily. Lord, would we have a lightness as we walk around, as we live our lives? Yes, working through the things that we need to, but also being grateful and rejoicing in the so much that we do have. Help us not to take for granted. Help us not to just feel we're entitled. But help us to have that attitude of gratitude. And Lord, help us to express it. Help us to just pour it out into the world. Lord, the story of the Good Samaritan is just one challenge to that. How we look at people, how we're not called to judge, but we're called to be kind. We're called to be kind even to those that are different to us. We're called to be kind and act, and help us to use that as just another example of how we can follow you in gratitude. That as we express that in the world, we add into the world, not take away from it. And it's hard. But help us, God, to be your people, to discern your truth, and to walk in your ways. not because of who we are, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to play that song and then we're going to sing.